All right, well, we're back again, Damo. Two ordinary cops.
Very ordinary.
That's what we like to say. Now, this one's, I suppose, a little bit exciting because we've now released the podcast. We did a lot of recordings and, you know, over the months and basically caught up quite a few times. And so we had quite a few in the bank and all that sort of stuff to release. So we could actually get a few out at once and all that to try and grab people's attention. And it's been an exciting journey so far.
Well, I think we didn't have a clue what we were doing.
No.
So I think the whole crux of this one, we're just talking about the actual podcast now.
Yeah, that's right.
And just the funny practicalities of putting this thing together. So we'd spoken about it before. Like, we've sort of talked about where the podcast came from.
Yeah.
The idea for the podcast.
Yep.
And then we recorded some, and then we recorded more, and then we were back and forth going, oh, when are we going to release this? How are we going to release it?
Yeah.
I had no idea how to release a bloody podcast.
And it was lucky we've got a very good mate, Stu, down in Sydney, who is IT specialist, basically. And he has done, like, a massive amounts of work. So we'd like to actually give him a bit of a shout-out and say,
thanks,
Stu, mate. We couldn't have done it without
you. Well, it wouldn't have been done, mate. We'd still just be drinking beers and recording content, and we'd probably do that forever and just stay on your computer.
That's right. Yeah, they'll find it in 100 years' time and go, what's this?
So I think the funny thing there was you released it on the Podbean app, which was basically picked randomly. pick one of these. I thought, oh, that one does.
Yep.
I don't think you picked or whatever we did. But
yep.
I remember going, okay, no, I've never heard of that before.
Yep.
I've heard of Spotify and,
yep,
and all
that's
these,
right,
and,
yeah,
all these other ones. But anyway, it was Stu who knew how to do all that.
Yep.
And he was the one who was able to get us to launch on those different platforms. So thank God.
And it was actually reasonably, I mean, it's simple for people like him.
Yeah.
But yeah, you and I, really, we're not.
Well, we're not terrible on computers, but that's just something we've never done before.
Exactly, yeah. And what you've also got to remember about these recordings, we literally just press record and talk.
There is no editing at all. We haven't cut and pasted anything. It was literally, are you ready, mate?
Yep, yep.
Ready,
okay.
Record. And then we just talk for about 30 minutes.
Hey, and we can talk a lot of crap. So
yeah, and you can look at the clock and feel pressure, but then you look back at it and we've just talked through it.
Because exactly. That's what we do. So I think it's like some of the feedback we've got too has been pretty good. I know the PTSD one was it was a massive hit. There was a lot of people that contacted us and even mentioned, like, they never realised why they reacted certain ways until they listened to the podcast.
Yeah,
because it gave insight into why people react or with PTSD.
Yeah,
all that sort of thing. And it I mean, it's not any place, like you said. You know, we've got the twisted ankle version and all that sort of thing. But like, even my partner Miriam, she was in the Christchurch earthquakes.
Yep.
You know, and a storm scares her.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, it just really freaks her out because it sounds very similar to the earthquake. So it's just a trigger.
Yeah. So I'll go on to a bit more of the feedback there. I have messages from people I haven't spoken to in years, and not because I don't like them. It's just because I've just gone a different path of life, and not police.
Yep.
People who are police, some weren't police. And a lot of them even said, look, I know you boys are talking about policing, but I'm going through a tough time with a bit of depression.
Yep.
And I think it's the normalisation of feelings. There's a stigma around mental health, and there shouldn't be.
Yep.
So mental health is no different to physical health. It's just in the brain, in the mind. So, and I mean, well, this is more about the podcast, but we'll go on to other things. And I think what we wanted to do was normalise PTSD is one thing, but even just mental health in general, because there's other police who don't have PTSD, but they do have depression.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, I live in a rural area now, and there's a bit of a push in the area around men's mental health especially, but just rural mental health in general. And it's being spoken about quite a bit. And it's good to normalise that stuff.
It is, yeah.
So we're lucky, and I don't think we even planned this. I think we were just going to talk about our stuff.
Yeah,
and
that's
right.
We
didn't think that people would go, oh, my God, I understand why I feel this way. And that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
You know I definitely struck a chord. I've had a couple of blokes who are ex-army, and they've contacted me saying, mate, what you said about that machine gun, it said, for me, it's not a machine gun tunnel. It's a bag of rubbish on the side of the road. He said, everything that's on the side of the road that shouldn't be there is a bloody IED.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, I have to change lanes to get away from it.
Yeah, yeah.
So people telling me stuff like that, and I'm like, bloody hell, we didn't even think of stuff like that.
That's exactly
shooting
right.
The breeze, really.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
it's And I mean, geez, we got a lot of feedback, and I think it was good. I was really happy with the fact that I suppose it's our way of reaching out to those people as well.
Yeah,
you know, and open the door to talk about it. Yeah. Like you said, you know, back in the day, people used to put a lot of their feelings and all that aside, and you know, tuck them away, and you know, pretend everything's great when it's not, and it just gets worse. And I think talking about it helps a lot, and that's, I mean, part of this podcast as well is what you and I do all the time.
Yep.
You know, we've got our own bloody demons and all that sort of thing we've got to deal with, and we just talk about
it. He's a little ugly bugger. He's not that big. There are people who have much worse demons than I do.
Yeah, exactly.
But so for us, so we spoke about this a bit last night. We weren't recording. We probably should have. That would have been hilarious.
It would have been.
It would have been frustrating to listen to.
It would have been very. But
that's okay.
We'd had one or two ales last night.
We'd had a couple of beers, and we were just telling story as we do. Talking story, as it's said in the Northern Territory.
Yep.
So one of the things we were talking about was we do this normally. We would sit around, and it annoyed the hell out of people. How do you just sit down there drinking beer and just talking? And it's like, well, that's how we are.
Yeah.
And as a result, I think we're very healthy for... mentally anyway,
yeah.
for a lot of the issues that we've dealt with.
Definitely.
And that's why I think our best way to help is just be ourselves, do what we always do, talk about things and record it, and then send it out and let people listen to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because a lot of people don't have the ability to talk
about
this stuff. They can listen to us and it normalizes their experience.
Exactly.
And that's the feedback I'm getting from people. Mate of mine, who we're going to get on the podcast actually at some point, he's a serving member in Queensland. He was going to check a few things with the media policy in the Queensland police first, which is fair enough. I mean, he doesn't want to leave. He quite likes his job, but he said he pines for those old days. Like he was similar vintage to us, but in the western areas of Queensland, and then he's worked down and now he's working down in the more metro southeast corner. But and now he's also in a fairly senior role, so he's not one of the boys on the ground anymore. Mm. He's sort of the middle management. But he said he really loved our early stuff because he just related to it, and he laughed because he went, oh, my God, they could be talking about me.
Like,
that's just, and he loved hearing about that because he doesn't necessarily talk about the old days much.
Yeah, that's right,
And, you know, hearing it from someone else was really good.
Yeah.
But then he said the PTSD stuff. He goes, oh, my, and he said that snapped ankle, split spine. That was just, I just came up with that off the cuff. To me, it was like, how do I make an analogy that people will understand?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was that, well, if you snap your spine, that's one of the worst physical injuries you can have. Your body is completely overwhelmed. You're reminded constantly every second of every day that you are paralyzed from
the
neck down.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have a twisted ankle that comes and goes, every now and then, bloody ankle's playing up again today. And that's it. And then it goes away. You might be able to
forget about it.
Move
on.
You can still carry on with your day.
Yeah. And then you take a wrong step or something and it flares up again.
And it flares up.
Yeah.
And the trigger will be,
that's
twisted
right.
going down the steps or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So that comment, I think that little comment that I coined as accidentally.
It's
really resonated. It's resonated. And that's good. And tell us, if things resonate, let us know.
That's right, Like I said, get in contact with us because we're more than happy to talk about it. It's, you know, the amount of people that have actually contacted us, and these are people who I haven't spoken to in 15 years, you know, since when we started in Katherine.
Yep.
And they're talking, they just go, oh, geez, I love those old days.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we had a good crew back then. And unfortunately, a lot of them are really broken down and you know, they're tucked away and not enjoying the job.
No.
You know, they're probably in it for the long haul because they're just looking for their retirement.
Yeah, but wearing those golden handcuffs.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're not in a good place, a lot of the officers I spoke to. And they're great people. They were some of the best people to work with.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, you know, if we can try and help, you know, I suppose make it a bit easier for them, that'd be definitely beneficial.
Mm. And look, every generation sits around and goes, back in my day, back in my day. And we do it too.
Yeah,
back in my day, and it was really fun.
I never said I was going to be that grumpy old man. Yeah,
I like to think I'm not because I am. Who am I kidding? But I think the best thing that I like to think of is it's always someone's good old days.
Yeah.
Right now is the good old days for someone in 10 years' time.
That's right.
So the junior coppers hitting the streets now, they're going to be doing different things than what we were doing. But we were doing different things to what the coppers were doing in the 90s.
Yep.
The guys in the 90s were doing different things to the guys in the 80s and the 70s. And not necessarily for the bad.
Yep.
There's things that are good that they've tightened up on. Like,
yep.
we, the profession to this point is still quite untrusted by a lot of the crap that went on in the 70s. And,
yeah, that's
The Royal Commissions that came out of the Fitzgerald Inquiry and the Wood Royal Commission.
Yep.
I'm not going to get political about police corruption, but there were some things that happened there that were just straight out criminal.
A lot
of it was just ridiculous.
Yeah, yep.
They were the biggest organised crime gang in the bloody...
Yeah, that's right.
...in Australia. Yeah, there's two of them. And look, that we're still fighting for that stigma.
Yep.
As a result now, with the police forces around the country and around the world are so held accountable and so stringently policed, ironically, that they're almost hamstrung.
Yeah, they are. Yep, yep.
We'll talk about youth crime. My God. to have a 13-year-old kid walk out of a courtroom on their third aggravated robbery after being pulled out of a stolen car, give you the finger, and you just know they're going to be in a stolen car that night.
Yeah, that's right.
Is a tad frustrating.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. The revolving door, isn't it?
But, you know, we're sort of rambling a bit, but the podcast has brought out all of this stuff.
That's right.
And because we can talk about it, and I don't think we're being overly controversial, Schultzy.
No.
A couple of people have even said, geez, it's a bit tame, boys. And look, that's done for a bit of a reason.
And look, I can guarantee you there's probably a few of the hierarchy and the police that are worried about what we'll talk about.
Well, I reckon a few might have listened to it and gone, oh, thank God for that. Mm. They haven't outed me.
And look, in the sense, like we are big supporters of the police. Absolutely. You know, I encourage anybody to join the police. You know, it was the best thing I ever did, I reckon, in my life. Mm. As a career, I loved it. And I was born to be a police officer. It was just in my veins. And two of my uncles that were police officers before me and all that sort of thing. But it was definitely one of the best decisions. And I encourage anyone.
Mm.
We've got our reasons for leaving.
Yeah.
And not all of it was because we hated the job.
No, I would even say the opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think also, like, when you leave the job, you actually miss it quite a bit. Like, I was sitting there explaining to a friend, a work colleague of mine, and I said, I basically walk down the street hoping that somebody will attack us with a knife.
Yeah.
Because you want that adrenaline hit again. Yeah.
You want a problem to deal with.
That's right. Yeah.
You know what? It comes down to purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and you've reminded me there. So when I first left the job, look, listen to us now. I'm 2 years out. You're
seven
years out.
No. Yeah.
And we still talk about policing. Going, we.
Yeah.
Mate, we're not cops.
No. That's right. Yeah. Exactly. So
it sticks with you. But I often say as well, policing's one of those jobs that's not a job. It's a calling and it's you. You become the job.
You've actually hit a very important point there. And if you were actually joining the job, you have to be dedicated.
Oh, yeah.
To it. It's not a job where you get paid and go home at 3 o'clock. And then, you know, come back the next day and just do a shift. And you've got to be involved in it. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, it is.
And you've got to make sacrifices.
Yeah.
It's not an easy sailing ship, you know, to be on. It's. So if you are joining, don't do it as just a job.
No, otherwise, you've got to be all in.
Yep.
Do your research before. Like, seriously know what you're getting yourself into. Talk to police. Don't just look at the uniform and go, oh, that'd be cool. I'd like to drive around in fast cars. And you seriously need to know what you're doing. You need to, it's not for the faint of heart.
No.
It's a very stressful environment a lot of the time. You're going to be dealing with a lot of trauma, as we've touched on before.
Yep.
And
you've got to be ready to deal with the PTSD afterwards. If you serve a long time, that's a consequence. It's You know, we knew about that when we joined.
Yep.
We don't whinge about it. We accepted it.
That's right.
You know.
If you're going to go running on the road with boots on, you're going to get blisters.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's the same thing. It's if you're going to go policing for any length of time and dealing with frontline trauma, you're going to get a few screws loose.
Yeah, exactly.
So people ask me as well, why did you leave? You loved it so much. You don't really run the job down ever. I said, look, it was changing. I didn't love a lot of aspects about it, but I still enjoyed the job. But the trouble is, people go, do you miss it? And I'll just cover off on a few things there. I left. I made a conscious decision. I was at a crossroads where I was already a detective sergeant. I was an acting senior sergeant in the Operation Crown, which was the COVID response stuff. I'd made a decision with my wife that at 15 years I was going to get out. I'd give her that long.
Mm.
I was at a crossroads. If I wanted to stay in the job, it would probably mean promotion to senior sergeant and potentially higher into the commissioned ranks.
Yep.
Where the job owns you.
Yep.
Like at that point, you are literally held to a much higher standard. You will be talking to the media in the morning about things you had nothing to do with overnight, and they're into you, and you won't have the answers all the time.
Yep.
You'll also be biting your tongue a little bit and not saying, "Well, if the criminals wouldn't do," you know. So you become very much. You're always dedicated and involved.
Yep.
But as you get to that rank, you really sell yourself to the job. It becomes a stronger commitment as you go up through those ranks. I made a decision, and another little term that I coined was, I'm going to live my life for the people who are going to cry at my funeral.
Yep.
Not be there because you're the Commissioner of Police and heaps of people wanted to be seen at your funeral.
That's right.
The people who genuinely stand, if you've got six people at your funeral and they're all crying.
Yeah.
You live for them.
I'm not going to cry.
No, you won't cry. You'd be there drinking free beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I'm hoping to outlive you anyway.
I want you to do the same for me, mate.
Yeah, that's right. So I made that decision. I'm going to live for the people who are going to cry at my funeral. And I think that's not a bad way to be making decisions in life. It's not a bad test. People ask me, do you miss the job? Yeah. I miss it like a cocaine addict misses cocaine.
That's a great analogy.
I know it's bad for me, but man, we had some good nights. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's, do I want to be a better human for my, yeah, I would never, I used to get sick a fair bit. I never get sick anymore, unless I get a sniffle, but I never get sick. Like, I remember getting ill quite a bit because you just run down.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
You know, you don't get anything done at home because you're too busy sleeping because you're tired. You seem like you get all your kicks at work, and you're just not a good human. And we've spoken about that too, how that your mobile phone on a charger thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. So, yeah, and look, I'll go into, you know, part of it. It was a communicative, I can't even say it. Community? Yeah, no, don't worry about it. I can't get the word out. It's just not working for me today. But it was a number of factors.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think you said I was cooked. I was so run down. I'd been working bush basically nonstop. I lived the job.
Yeah,
you know, did. I was so involved. I was even talking on the radio. You know, like I did thing with ABC like once a week as well for a while.
Yeah.
And I lived the job, and I worked hard and I played harder.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the nights you're just sitting there just drinking and, you know, having great time and all that sort of thing, and then you're back at work the next day just smashing it out. And
this job's
like on. My mum was actually mentioning to me over the weekend, she said, yeah, the amount of times when they retired they came up to see me, and, you know, her mum sits here and goes, yep, no, Ben organised this great barbecue, and then he's the one that's not there.
Yeah,
because he gets called out to a job.
Yeah.
You know. And she goes,
Murphy's Law always kicks in. That job will take bloody hours.
Yeah, exactly. And then she goes, I hear you come back home, like, you know, all through the night. And then I'm up again. And she sits and worries about me. And yeah, and then I'm back again. And then and she goes, how you do it? I don't know. And like, I look back and go, how did I do it? I really don't know. But that's part of it. The other part was, I think, I spent more time justifying my job than doing it.
Yeah.
And that's what you were talking about before, about being bogged down in the paperwork.
Yeah.
I remember, don't worry about that. Bloody, Matt James trying to call me. He's probably trying to listen in or something. I spent so much time trying to justify why I did. And I'll touch on something where one of the senior sergeants came out and and he said, like, he goes, oh, look, I want you guys out on the road more. And I just turned around and I said, I'd love to be out of the road more.
Yeah.
I'm an extrovert. I love chatting to people. I love getting out and about and talking to people. That's what I love about policing.
Yeah.
I said, unfortunately, you've got me stuck here doing paperwork. And the problem is, you sit to fix a problem, you give us another piece of paperwork.
Yeah.
The problem is, you're doing that year in, year out.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll give you an example. I said, back in Kalkarindi, we had the Wave Hill walk-off. You know how they celebrate it every year?
Yeah.
Two computers, six cops, and three cars.
Yep.
We worked 25 hours. We cleared something like 30-something warrants. We arrested 24 people, remanded six in custody with two computers.
Yeah.
And we were done then. We, you know, basically dropped the prisoners off, and it was easy.
Yep.
I said, I'll give you the same equivalent. We've just done 25 hours, and we've got two arrests.
Yeah.
And we've got six computers. We've got six... no, we had eight police.
Yep.
And I said, this, and he just looks at me and I said, this is your problem.
Yeah.
Fix it.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, this, and like people used to sit there and go to me, oh, you can't, you shouldn't really say that. The boss said, if I don't give my feedback to the bosses, how are they supposed to change things? Yeah. They don't see that.
No.
You know, it's not, like, if they're not told about it, then how can they fix it?
Yep. So that, oh, that was my biggest source of frustration was the, but not, I get it. Like, of course you've got to justify it. You need to record things and you need to provide evidence. And I'm not knocking that.
No.
What I'm saying is there's more efficient ways of doing it. The other thing that used to happen was, and it's not the tail, so yeah, it is the tail wagging the dog.
Mm.
When people think of the police, they think of general duties police. My view should be everything supports general duties police.
Yep.
Detectives respond after general duties have attended at something.
Yep.
All your specialists are in the background. They're not the ones getting sent in.
Yep.
The ones getting sent in with the unpredictability, with the instant issues and the trauma and the instant violence and all the ones and all the rest of it, are your general duties police.
Yep.
Why is it then that we make, and I know why it is, it's because it's mostly junior people who are too busy to fight back, and you've got senior guys who've come off the road and they're doing other things,
exactly,
and they basically want to move work away from themselves. Mm. So why is it that they go, all right, we'll get general duties just to, we want these extra printouts for different things that a clerk of the court can do in 2 seconds.
That's right.
But we want it on every file.
Yep.
And just because I said so.
Yeah.
But that takes another 3 minutes.
Yep.
And, but it's another 3 minutes on every file.
Yeah.
We've already got a heap to do.
That's right.
Why is it that we can't handwrite something out and go further? These are the, I'm not saying, you still got to do this properly and have the ability to back it up.
That's right, yeah.
Identify witnesses and outline their, give a brief outline of their evidence and then say, this is the evidence that's available. Put that through to the courts and go from there.
Yep.
And then if the issue goes to a not guilty, then it comes back. I think Queensland, there was a couple of Queensland guys in Katherine early on.
Yeah,
and they were flabbergasted by our arrest to brief process.
Oh, yeah.
Just went, and this was when it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They're going, my God, this is, how many times do you want me to type this crap out?
Yeah,
it was just duplicitous and triplicitous. Yeah. And multiple bloody entry into different computers.
Oh,
systems.
Yeah. Yeah, that it was painful.
It would drive a man to drink shelter.
Wow. Well, you know, and actually, I remember back at the so, what happened was people, to a certain extent, were getting pushed up into positions they hadn't been trained to really do. And, and that's no fault of them because they hadn't been trained properly, for one. And also the police had shortfalls all the time. Yeah. So people were filling in positions. Problem is there were people sitting in the sergeant position that weren't really checking the files properly. So then the files would go down to court and they're, you know, incomplete and not really checked properly and all that. And look, in the defence of those sergeants also, they're overwhelmed with so much paperwork that a lot of time they're probably just, you know, flicking through and just, you know, oh, it'll be right.
Yeah.
You know, I'll send it down. Problem is, though, then they came up with this tick and flick where you had to make sure that, like, everything was on there, whether the price or statement of facts now.
Yeah.
You know, is there 3 copies of each statement? Is there a recorded interview? Is there, you know, this? And I'm just sitting there going, well, we shouldn't have to do this. So it's a tick and flick. Did the files improve? No. Because they're just ticking and flicking.
Yeah.
So it was another piece of paperwork we had to do, which was pointless.
Yep. No, there was lots of things that like that. Well, my old thing was, and I know online briefs will be good, and it, look, there's a lot of, it's easy to sit here and go, wouldn't this be great?
Mm.
But I think, I could be wrong, and WA coppers, let me know if I'm wrong, but a mate of mine used to work in WA, and then he moved across to the NT, and he was talking about a system called Briefcase.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about it, but I've heard blokes saying it was the best system they ever worked with, and that could be wrong. If WA copper, and you didn't agree, get on there and tell us.
Yeah.
But what he was saying, he said it was, it was entity centric, which means everything's an entity. A vehicle's an entity, house is an entity, person's an entity, yeah?
Yeah.
So they said, if Damien Barb's driving down the road, Constable Damien Barb sees offender Ben Schultz.
Yep.
Off with
Ben Schultz. How come I'm always a bad guy?
Well, you just fit the bill, mate. So we pull over and off with Ben Schultz. So it might be recorded with, off with a street check. So a job's created. This unit has got a street check.
Yep.
We don't know with who yet.
Yep.
Anyway, can I have a name check on Ben Schultz?
Yes.
Here it is, bang. It's come back as he's got a warrant or whatever.
Yeah.
He's now being apprehended.
No, it's pretty serious.
Street
too.
Check. Yeah, got, yeah he's wanted for bad taste or something. Right. So anyway, he's now apprehended. He is now in the custody of Barb's unit.
Yeah.
So that unit is now mobile to the watch house. So that it is now, the person's custody is recorded now.
Yep.
As in their custody log is now recorded. This person at this time was taken into custody at this location in this vehicle.
Yep.
Transported to this watch house.
Yep.
out of the watch house, the entity is then loaded into the watch house. So that street check job has now got a custodial element to it, and that custodial element is now in the watch house at this town, WA, for example. That then offences identified and a prosecution brief put together. That prosecution brief is attached to that same episode.
Yep.
So now every time there's a statement or anything, it just gets added electronically to that same episode.
Yep.
That all gets automatically put in a contents log.
Yep.
The custody log's taken care of. The brief of evidence is automatically compiled in exactly how it needs to be compiled, with who needs a printed number of copies, blah, blah, blah. It's all done.
Yep.
So it's all done by computers. Instead of us working, being a slave to the computer, the computer is a slave to the coppers.
That's right.
So all of that's done. And then it would be, sergeant has the custody sergeant, for want of a better term, has reviewed the brief of evidence and has now decided that, yes, these charges are approved.
Yep.
Within the same recording, he's still in custody. Right, that person is now to be put before the courts. The courts are linked in as well.
Yep.
So the courts are notified of an in-custody appearance.
Yep.
And there's the evidence. Yeah, there's the brief.
Yeah.
So the brief goes across. So your Aboriginal legal services and your standard legal services are notified of a matter.
Mm.
They have access to the electronic brief.
Yep.
It's all there. The person appears in court listed. His full custody log is listed.
Yep.
The justification for custody. All his custody checks are listed on the same episode.
Yep.
There's one system that does everything.
Yep.
And then it right through to sentenced, matter resolved, sentenced to imprisonment, or released on this, whatever. It's all done.
That's exactly right. And where is us?
Is that how ours works?
No. Definitely not. And actually, you've just reminded me of something, and this is something both you and I were involved in, but you came up with the idea. Well, I mean, it's not an idea. It was always been done in the past, and that's video statements,
yeah.
And I still remember, because you were trying to do it down there, but didn't get a lot of support from the bosses where you were.
Well, it wasn't the way they'd done it.
Yeah, so exactly.
Why would it be done, you know?
And it was funny, because I'll just tell the story here, because Damo called me up, because I was out at Ramagini. It's my domain. This is on the prosecutor.
Yeah.
You know, I'm everything out there. So, and he goes, what do you think? He said, you know, start doing this in the legislation. I mean, they do it in crime a lot, but not really.
Well, sex assault is the only way.
Yeah, that's right. And anyway, so I've gone, oh, I'll give it a go. And, do you know, it's a bit, I suppose, I mean, we're used to talking so much now, even recording ourselves and all that sort of thing. You just get used to it. But when you first start, and there's a couple of different hoops you have to jump through to make sure it's, valid.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I
there's legislative requirements.
Exactly. And so anyway, I've done it. And so I've done a few. And then I had this case, and it was a domestic violence case. Anyway, so I went, it's all video. And I'll tell you what, like she was pretty beaten up, video statement, awesome. And I did one with a couple of witnesses, did their video statements. And the thing is, it is so quick. A statement takes, like a long one would be 5 minutes. But the amount of information you get.
Well, a 5 minute recorded statement, and it might be audio, but video is excellent.
Exactly.
But it might be 5 minutes long, but if you were to write that would be 20 pages.
Exactly, yeah. And the amount of information, the other joy of it is the fact that you can't get, defence can't come in and say you led the witness, because it's all recorded.
It's there.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And it was, so what I did is I put it all, my evidence was, and all I did was a quick note. Basically, I spoke to this person this time, that's all I did, just quick, and basically they stated this as the main point.
Yeah, so a synopsis.
And then, so I put that in the file. So it was like actually quite a small brief, because it wasn't all the three triplets of of the statements and all that sort of thing. The evidence was on a USB drive.
Yep.
Anyway, I remanded him in custody.
Yep.
So this was probably a pretty big call. Anyway, so I put him on the police air wing to fly into Darwin, and I've given him the file with this USB thing.
Yep.
And then I'm sitting there going, I'm just waiting to get my ass kicked.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there anyway. Over the weekend, you know, didn't hear anything. And then anyway, he's going to court on Monday, right?
So ooh,
anyway,
you go.
Oh dear. And then I looked, and I've just looked up the court results. Oh, he's remanded in custody.
Yeah, they're remanded.
Oh, I'm going to call prosecution. So I rang him up. And I said, oh, guys, this one is one I sent in. I just want a bit of feedback on, you know, how I actually prepared that file and all that. They said, we loved it.
Yeah, perfect.
Keep doing it.
Yeah, okay. If you loved it so much, write a new policy and let us all do it.
Yeah.
Because it was, mate, I'll give you an example of an Ag Assault Breach DVO that I did in Borroloola. I see our time.
Yep.
Exactly the same. I had, this is in 2015, but I had one of those little Sony Bloggy recorders back in the day.
Yeah.
Before everyone had smartphones.
And, yeah, that's right.
I mean,
right.
We had them, but we didn't use them for work.
Yeah.
So I had this Bloggy. I went to a job. There was a victim and two witnesses. I separated them out and I took them individually into a bedroom. And yep. I did everything I needed, which is the introduction. You understand that it's an offence to lie and a statement of, and everything. And basically, there's a way to verbally sign within legislation. I won't go into the details. Yeah. I can't remember it exactly. Yeah. But to make it legitimate, you had to, or make it legal, you had to do a certain thing in front and back of the statement.
Yep.
So I do that. I get the witness statement and I can take stills as I'm doing it. So she's obviously got injuries. And I mean, we treat injuries first. It's not that I'm, oh, quick, before we cover that bleeding gash in your head.
Yeah, that's right.
But it might be that we just take a quick photo while we're there.
Yeah, that's right.
But I could video record that with her consent.
Yep.
I get her consent for the photos in the statement
exactly.
while I'm taking it. And she goes,
yes.
Yeah, he hit me with this and it hit me here
yep.
and did this. She's pointing to her head, pointing to her arm.
Yep.
I then say, thanks for that. Right, the ambulance is, or the, you know, the nurse is here. Go out to the clinic mob.
Yep.
And I bring the next one in and I go, one recording was about, the victim's statement was 4 minutes long. I had three other statements from witnesses taken immediately at
yep.
the scene, in the house it all occurred at.
Yep.
The bloke's outside in the cell, in the cage.
Yep.
With my partner waiting there. So he's in custody. The
yep.
custody log has started.
Yep.
I've recorded already. There's a requirement to record that you've told someone they're under arrest and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
I've done that already on the same device. Recorded three statements and have given him his caution.
Yep.
And commenced the custody.
Yep.
Do you have any health issues?
Yep.
Do you want to see the clinic? Are you drunk?
Yep.
I've done all that on video.
Yep.
We're getting back to the watch house. We did our thing. I put all of that on same thing onto a USB stick. Oh, I think I burned it onto a CD.
CD, right? Yeah, yeah. I was
so
doing that
the
a
CDs
bit too.
Were
yep. yep.
So we did all that, or DVD, whatever.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
So that's all done. And then we write the statement of facts, and I'm looking at my partner going, that's it.
Yeah, that's right.
We're done.
It's all done.
Yeah.
It's actually so quick to get, like, witness statements.
Yeah.
It is, and I actually did some calculations. The other thing that's important, it's more likely to get a successful prosecution.
Yeah.
Because you'd limit the amount of things that defence can come up with.
Yeah.
So, and I did some calculations one day. I figured that just the Northern Territory Police, in basically hours of people worked,
yeah.
it would save them close to $13 million a year.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Just because of
the
efficiency of it
yeah.
was just incredible.
So all the sexy stuff we used to do in Trident, which was the chasing kids around in bloody stolen cars and doing pursuits.
Mate,
and going
sexy
to,
you do
and,
not
no,
go in the
no,
same
No, it was yeah, definitely the wrong term. But all that stuff we used to do, we were then bogged for hours and hours and big teams of people doing prosecution files. And
yep.
we had a ping pong table in that office, but I never saw a game of ping pong played on. What it was excellent for was stacking up reams and reams of paper with multiple offenders, so multiple briefs of evidence for this poor bugger to
yep.
read through, because
yep.
I had to approve everything and stamp it all and get it going. And yeah, it was just a lot of work. So
yeah.
there's a lot of work that went into it afterwards.
Mate, I was just sitting there thinking, you know how you when we started this episode here, and you're talking about how we sit down, have a beer, and just yarn and talk and all that.
Yeah,
that's what we've just done.
We've just done it. Yeah. But that's good. I hope. Let us know.
Yeah, that's right.
We can't fix things. We can't change things if we don't know. But we don't bite hard.
No.
We do bite, but it's not hard. So if you've got anything that you do want us to talk about,
yeah.
please let us know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, we'll just keep rambling.
Exactly.
And,
yeah, that's
yeah.
right.
But look, I think we started off, this is the first one that we've recorded since the podcast
since,
has been released.
Yeah, exactly, yep.
And look, I think we're getting a fairly good result.
Oh, we are, yeah. yeah. It's actually, and it was funny when you first released it, you were a little bit apprehensive going,
oh, yeah.
oh we're out there in the world
yeah,
now.
Like, holy bloody hell, we've actually launched these. People could come back and say, can you idiots get off the
yeah.
air? I wasn't sure how it'd go. I think it's going okay.
Oh, it skyrocketed, like, basically, yeah, straight off. It was in, and it was good. So thank you for listening, for everybody
yeah.
that does. And I hope we can keep it exciting for you.
Yeah, and if we're not entertaining, let us know.
Exactly, yeah.
If we are entertaining, let us know.
That's right.
And if you just want to say good day, let us know.
Exactly. If you've got any pointers, let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, we do like advice.
we need some from time to time.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, mate, we probably wrap this one up
so,
then
yeah.
we'll move on to something else.
Yeah, no trouble. We're signing off. 200 cops.
See ya.